Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. I'm Luke Brown and thanks for joining us to the studios here in the European Parliament in Brussels. Now the threat of a trade war with the US following the election of Donald Trump. European farmers infuriated about the Mercosur deal, weakened political leaders in France and Germany, war still rumbling in neighbouring Ukraine, budgets being tightened across the bloc. Things seem pretty bleak for the European Union. But for once, we're going to talk about what the EU does get right and how it impacts for the better the lives of its citizens, that is, us. From studying abroad to guaranteeing travellers don't suffer from cancellations and that we benefit from better food standards, as well as ensuring EU citizens can surf the World Wide Web in safety, those are just some of the big successes of the EU over the past years. Now, to discuss these topics, I'm delighted to be joined by Nela Riehl, a German MEP from the Green Group, but also the chair of the Culture Committee here at the European Parliament. Many thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And on the other side, en face, we have Agustin Reyna, the Director General of the European Consumer Organization, the BEUC. I'm going to start on the question of culture, and specifically the question of Erasmus. Now, it is a student exchange programme. It's also really been a key motor for EU integration. 14 million people have taken part since 1987. We all know how it benefits individual students. How does the Erasmus system benefit the rest of the EU?
Well, the rest of the EU, individual students, that is the rest of the EU, I would say. It's not only we have this university strength, but we also do have the youth center and the sports center, which you shouldn't forget about. We benefit by actually educating young people in this case to get to learn about Europe, to get to learn about like our common culture, but also about different cultures. She's just taking away some kind of fear, I would also say, because if you only live in your city, in your country and never go abroad, you can actually then experience what other people are like, what other cultures are. So I think this is something we all benefit from, to actually learn from each other.
And Erasmus Plus, the budget is over 26 billion euros for a 7-year period. Is that good value for money for the EU? And to what extent does the Erasmus programme impact the EU's reputation around the world beyond and outside the EU?
I would say it's like the best value you can get for it, because it is a lot of money. Of course, it's not even enough, because I talked to the national agencies, the German ones, and they said like every single euro we spend on Erasmus directly goes to into the mobility of students. So they really they feel it in their daily life. So I would say this is very well spent. At the same time, I have to admit that although this is a lot of money, Erasmus still isn't as accessible enough as I would want it to be, because if you now like get paid, I don't know, 400 euros or something a month, this is good for people who, you know, come from families who can actually afford it, but this wouldn't be enough to afford a life abroad by yourself. So we actually have to spend even more money on it, and I'm happy to that the Parliament actually managed to negotiate a plus of 70 million in the next financial year for Erasmus Plus. This is very well needed, and as I said, it's still not enough.
But you were talking there about Erasmus Plus. I mean, yeah. Many people do associate Erasmus with the higher education program, yeah. But it's actually opened up to apprentices as well and other social groups. Is it important that it really does continue to broaden out its scope within the EU?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think so, just because of what I mentioned right now. It's quite you know, it's just a very small group of people who can actually afford it, who actually do it, and many people don't think of actually also like teachers participating in Erasmus Plus. So I do think we should actually work on broadening it. As I said, it should be more accessible for also vocational training, of course, which is also part of it, which many people don't know about. So I do believe that fighting this right-wing crisis, as I would call it, would benefit from actually putting more money into Erasmus and to actually widen the scope of it, yes.
And to broaden out to our other guest, you, Mr. Reyna, you took part in the Erasmus programme itself too. Was that a benefit to you as an individual?
Yes, it was a life-changing experience. I did it in Spain, and there is where I started studying European law. And this is where I discovered basically the EU and what the EU does for consumers, and that's why is when I decided to move to Brussels and do a career here.
Maybe if I can, just click in there. I lived in Sweden for 1 year, so this is a language that everybody told me, why are you, like, out of all places, why is it Sweden? And for me, this was like, now I'm speaking a language that's also here at Parliament actually opens doors for me, because, like, everybody who is from Sweden or even from Denmark is like, oh, you speak Swedish, so there's another way to connect. So, yes, I do Absolutely. Think it's life-changing. I would agree.
I'd like now to move to one of the other big success stories here in the EU that we'd like to talk about, and that is with our second guest, Augustin Reyna. You're the Director General of the European Consumer Organisation, the BEUC. Given the EU has an internal market of 450 million consumers, would you say they're the best protected in the world?
Yeah, comparatively, the Europeans benefit from the highest standard of consumer protection across the board. It's not only about food safety, but from data protection and energy market, sustainability, even traditional consumer rights like buying something online, we definitely have one of the highest standards of consumer protection because of this single market of 450 million consumers that need to be protected.
And to what extent would you say that the EU should be able to export its model of protecting consumers to other markets outside the EU?
I don't think it's a question of exporting a model, but showing that things can work, that a high level of consumer protection and competitiveness and competitive markets come hand by hand. And that can show as well, for example, in the field of data protection, where after the adoption of the General Data Protection Regulation, many other countries started looking at what Europe is doing because of the importance of making sure that people's data are secure, safe, and that people actually know and consent when their data is being used. So these type of models show that we can have high levels of protection and still, you know, innovation and companies making progress in Europe, and that can obviously serve for other countries to see whether it can be adapted for their own legislations.
And one aspect where in the EU the consumer protections are very strong is in food and food labelling to ensure that we know what we're eating. However, the EU is just signing up with the Mercosur deal with Latin America. Correct. What will the impact of that be?
We are very sceptical as consumer groups about Mercosur, and we share the concerns of the agricultural sector and the farmers. Because at the end of the day, we are asking from our farmers to have high levels of standards of production, but also in terms of sustainability and animal welfare. And we don't get the same guarantees in third countries like the Mercosur countries. So that means that at the end of the day, the consumer, when they go to the supermarket, they might find products that do not reflect the same level of standards of production. So we believe that we need much more stricter rules about what comes into Europe to make sure that fits and complies with our European rules.
Okay, one other topic where the consumer protection battlefield is very much online. Yeah. Your organisation has helped work on the Digital Market and Digital Services
Act. Correct.
You've got a very strong opinion on that. How is that protecting consumers? And can you tell me a bit more about some of the successes that you've had and the EU has had on that front?
Yeah, of course. Following the adoption of the Digital Markets Act and the Digital Services Act, we are now looking at how to improve consumer conditions in online marketplaces. Just to give you one very concrete example, we introduced our first complaint under the Digital Services Act against Temu. Because what is happening, based on the result of the testing conducted by our members, is that we have tons of parcels entering the EU markets every single day with products that are non-conforming. What does it mean? That there are products that contain chemicals that are not allowed in the European Union, or that have been designed not respecting our safety standards. So this put at risk the European consumers, you know, life and safety on one side, but also creates a distortion of competition in the single market because European companies need to comply with these rules. So the European Commission actually opened an investigation looking into Temu's practices. We hope that it will be concluded soon in order to make sure that the products that enter the single market are compliant. In the field of the Digital Markets Act, for example, as well, the idea is to make easier for consumers to access digital services, to make sure that we don't need to depend on big tech giants, that traders, or businesses and consumers can meet without having these intermediaries dictating the rules of the game. And we already seen changes in the way these markets operate that it gives much more choices to consumers than what we had before.
Okay, we're going to stay on the question of the digital sphere and turn back to MEP Rehl. Recently, you contributed to the parliamentary debate about how Twitter and X is tweaking its own algorithm in Elon Musk's favour. How much impact can the EU have against the tech giants when it comes to fighting fake news and propaganda online?
I think the DSA is a very good example for how the world now looks at Europe or the European Union, how we can be one of the first ones tackling this problem. I do think that it's like on us to have a look at what does this information actually mean and how can we fight it. But I do see our responsibility to do the very best we can and to come up with ideas and to now force the Commission to have a closer look at what Elon Musk in that case is doing there. So we should be like the watchdogs and protect our consumers also in that case. On the other hand, also educate our consumers. That's the angle where I come from as a culture. I want to have very well-informed citizens. So I do believe, and I've been a teacher myself for several years before coming to the European Parliament until July. I was facing students sitting there up to 18 years old, and they were like, I was watching the news. And I was like, yeah, what kind of news? I watch it on TikTok. So this is their reality, and this is something we have to face. It won't go away just by itself, but we have to educate people, also their parents, by the way, to actually be able to cope with it and to, you know, the information to get to actually be able to tell whether they're true or not.
And very quickly, would you say, given all the challenges, the geopolitical challenges in 2025 ahead, are you optimistic the EU has the tools to protect its citizens?
I am. I'm working on it, yeah. I wouldn't be working on it if I wasn't optimistic, so yes.
OK. Yeah. Nela Rehl, Green MEP, Agustin Rehner of the consumer group BEUC. Many thanks for taking the time to join us here in the studio. Many thanks to you, too, the viewers, for watching us here at France 24, Talking Europe. There'll be more news and headlines just after this short break on France 24.